We watched a couple of years ago an amazing, wonderful thing that happened in our fellowship as the Lord raised up the man of God you're going to hear from. Pastor Steve and Sharon Holder are absolutely wonderful people before the Lord. We have thoroughly enjoyed you being here with us. And our fellowship, the Fellowship of Churches and Ministers International, has been around for about 55 years, started by Gordon Lindsay. It's in good hands when we have this man, this family at the helm. We are grateful, and you can be grateful, because we have a spiritual man of God who is hungry for the Lord, is hungry for the Word of God, is hungry to see the kingdom of God come on earth as it is in heaven. And we're honored this morning, just plain honored and blessed that you guys would take time to be with us. We welcome you. We love you. Let's give them a warm welcome to Grace Christian Church. Thank you. Pastor Steve and Sharon Holder.
Thank you so much, Pastor. What a delight and honor and privilege it is to be here. And wow, you guys have been such a blessing to us. And we're so grateful. I'm honored to have my wife with us today. And we're going to have to part this evening. She's flying back home to North Carolina, and I'm flying down to Los Angeles. So I have to, it's kind of tough to say goodbye for a few days, but Sharon, if you would please stand, my wife of 30 years, and we have three wonderful boys at home, and serving the Lord and ministering our church also, like Pastor Dan, and I'm honored to be with Dan and Kelly always. Dan is, I consider one of my best friends, and for many, many years. And the Hunters, you have the most awesome pastors in the world. Wow. You guys are so blessed to have this wonderful couple with so much love. Wow. And just energy. And we had such a blast and fellowshipping with them and spent the day together yesterday. And wow, we're just, this truly is a time to be received the refreshing of the Lord. And you guys have, and whoever wrapped the bottles with the fellowship sticker on the water bottles, come on, wow. That is over the top. I mean, really, that is so awesome. We're just so blessed to be here. And I want to get right into the Word, because I know you guys have got plans today and you have things to do. And you know what you're doing today is you're putting God first, because this is the first day of the week. And so whenever we give God something first, it redeems everything else. And so what you've done here today is you've given God the first day of your week, the first of the day. And so the rest is redeemed. Amen. And so I thank you for being here today. And if you have your Bibles, if you will turn with us to the book of John, chapter 16, verse 7. And I want to talk to you today about the advantage. Everyone say that with me, the advantage. And look at your neighbor and say, the advantage. If you're taking notes, I want you to write that down. I want you to know that word when you leave today. And I want you to know it in a new and refreshing way. The word, the advantage. And I want to share with you today and talk to you today about the advantage. The Bible says in John chapter 16, verse 7. John chapter 16, verse 7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage. There's that word advantage. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper. Does anybody know who the Helper is? Anybody met the Helper? Our brother met the Helper. Amen. You have the Helper. He said, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send Him to you. Jesus is doing the talking here. And these are His words. And He's talking to His disciples who have been following Him now for about 3 years. And they have spent a lot of time together. They basically lived together and shared life together, which is what we're to do as believers. And Jesus had gathered these men and women, had gathered as his group of disciples that he was leading, that he was delivering his heart to. He was sharing his vision with. He was giving them the exposure to his ministry. And it was incredible. Can you imagine the incredible experience of just being right there with Jesus? Been to Israel a few times. No doubt some of you have been to Israel a few times. It's wonderful to go there and to experience where Jesus walked and just walk in the footprints of Christ. I was just there in March, and what an incredible experience. But can you imagine literally touching him and sitting at the same table with him and getting on the same boat with him and handing him a fishing pole and him baiting your hook, you know? And, you know, can you imagine, you know, that's what they did together. They did life together. And then to have the experience to just watch Jesus, you know, here he is. He invited his disciples to go with him to a wedding. They're in Cana of Galilee. And everybody knows a wedding is very special, isn't it? I mean, your wedding is, I always tell the guys at the weddings, I said, this is about her. You're just, it's okay if you come. And, but really this is about her. I mean, it's her day. Every little girl lives for that, you know, for that moment whenever she walks down that aisle and she, you know, becomes united with that soulmate that God has given her. And every girl lives for that. And it's just the most incredible. Weddings are just awesome. And especially to that bride. And can you imagine Jesus coming up to the wedding and that bride just falling to pieces? I mean, she's just, they're having hysteria. She's a nervous wreck. Someone's brought her the news. The wedding planner has brought her the news. We're out of wine. We don't have any more wine. This is a celebration of a Jewish tradition of up to 7 days. And we're already out of wine. We don't have enough to celebrate. We're in trouble. This is a mess. My wedding is a disaster. Everyone will leave from here talking about how that we didn't have enough money to carry out this celebration of my wedding and my marriage. And Mary, who had lived with this ostracized rejection for 30 years of the doubt and unbelief in the back of everyone's mind that Jesus was an illegitimate child, and Jesus, her son, she knew she had not known a man, but the Holy Spirit had placed the seed of God in her womb. And she had lived with that rejection for 30 years. So here we got two women at the same moment having a most extraordinary experience. One woman is a nervous wreck. We've run out of wine. Another woman is, this is it. This is the time. This is the moment to declare that everything I've been saying for these 30 years is true. Jesus is the Son of God. He is the Lamb of God that's going to take away the sin of the world. And so she tells the servants, whatever Jesus tells you to do, go and do it. But Jesus says, go and get the fill the barrels with water. And when they dip into the barrels that were water, it comes out and Jesus has turned the water into wine. And the disciples are standing there. Their eyes are this big round. Mary's over there jumping and shouting, I told you so. I told you so. I told you so. I told you so. He is the Son of God. I told you. I told you He's a miracle worker. I told you something special about. I told you that I did not know a man. I told you that Joseph and I. Oh, I told you that Jesus was the Son of God. I knew it. I knew it. I knew it. He turns the water into wine. The disciples watch Him do it. The disciples, wow, needed to pay their taxes. And Jesus says, go. And there's a fish right over there. And you know, tax day is tomorrow, and my wife's got to mail off our extension. And, you know, Jesus says, hey, the money's in the mouth of the fish. And they go and pull out and there's money in the fish's mouth. I caught a fish yesterday at Pike's Place. I did. First try. First time. Come on now. If I wasn't a Panther fan, the Seahawks would be after me right now. You know? And then these wonderful fishermen who have been raised on the Sea of Galilee and who have just caught fish after fish after fish and earned their living with fishing, and they're toiling out on the boat, and they've been toiling all night long and they haven't caught anything. And here comes the carpenter. Yeah, a carpenter's going to tell me how to fish. Yeah, I've been fishing all my life. I know how to fish. But Jesus said, hey guys, you've been toiling all night long. Throw your net out on the other side. Can you imagine them saying? Oh yeah, sure. The carpenter's going to tell us how to fish. Sure, we're going to catch. Nevertheless, let's do it anyway. So they throw the net out on the other side and they have so many fish. And bring the other boat! Hey, you guys, come over here, help us. We got to get all these. Are you seeing how this statement is such a struggle for these guys? For Jesus to say, it is to your advantage that I go away. How can that be possible? How can it be possible for you to tell us that it's going to be better if you leave? How can it get any better than this? A guy was dead for 4 days and you walked up and said, Lazarus, come forth. And he comes up out of the ground. How can it get any better than this? We get money out of fish's mouth. How can it get any better than this? You know exactly where the fishing holes are. You know where the fish... How can it get any better than this? You can turn water into wine. How can it get any better than this? You're telling me it is to my advantage that you go away so that another can come? And that word in the Greek, another, is another. It means another. It means another of the same kind. That's the word. Another of the same kind. The helper is going to come and I am going to send him to you and he is going to testify of me. You see, Jesus understood that he was here in human form, incarnate, God in the flesh. But he understood that he had brought himself into this tent, into this body, and there were limitations. And he understood the limitations. That's why Zacchaeus had to climb up in a tree to see him. It's because the crowds were so gathered around. There was limited access to Jesus. Everybody couldn't get to him. And so Zacchaeus climbs up in a tree. Another woman, she presses through the crowd when she finds out Jesus is coming by. And she crawls on her hands and her feet just to touch the hem of his garment. And immediately she's made whole and healed because of the personal limitations. Can you imagine if Jesus were still here in human form? We would all be going to SeaTac today. And we would all be getting on a plane and we'd all be headed to Tel Aviv. And we'd all take the bus to Jerusalem and we'd meet with Jesus. Wouldn't we? We'd get in the line. I sure would get in the line. Yeah. And so Jesus understood. He understood his own limitations. That he had allowed himself and submitted himself. He was willing. And he understood that. And so he stands up in the synagogue in Luke chapter 4. And he takes the book of Isaiah. And he begins to read. And here's what he says. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. I am doing through the work of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He hath anointed. Here's Jesus. He's reading from the book of Isaiah, but He's talking about Himself. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, Jesus said. This is being fulfilled. This is a prophetic word that has promises, and the promise is being fulfilled. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He sent me to heal. All of these things that I am doing, all of the ministry of Jesus, Jesus is giving recognition to the Spirit of the Lord being upon Him. So, the advantage is the Holy Spirit. And the advantage is assigned to the anointing. Oh, thank God for the anointing. Oh, the anointing breaks yokes. The anointing sets the captive free. The anointing preaches the gospel to the poor. The anointing sets at liberty them that are captive. The anointing opens blinded eyes. The anointing makes all the difference. The advantage of the anointing. I told this story one time, and I actually had someone in the audience who had some connections with this. So I just want to do a little disclaimer. If you have any connections with this story, I want you to know that God's Holy Spirit is there to comfort you. Because this, I'm sure, I can't imagine. It was actually about 16 years ago. And it was an Alaskan Airlines flight. It was flight 261. It was scheduled to fly from Puerto Vallarta, Mexico, to SeaTac. And then it was to go from SeaTac, I think, or to stop in San Francisco and then on to SeaTac. Its final destination was SeaTac. And while in flight, the pilot, the aircraft, the MD-83, began to vibrate, began to shake. And this is not a good story to tell when you're about to go get on an airplane, but God is faithful, right? He's with us, and I'm ready. Amen? How many of you are ready? If you're not, I believe before the day is over, you're going to be ready. But the plane began to lose its pitch control, and inevitably the plane crashed off the coast of Los Angeles, and all of the passengers, 83 passengers, 3 cabin crew members and 2 pilots were all killed. And as they always do, the investigators come in and they resurface the plane. And they take the debris of the plane and they actually, like a puzzle, they put it back together, right, in a hangar. And then they go through the various tests and try to discover what was the cause of the crash so that that crash will never happen again. And so they did that. What they discovered was that there was a horizontal balance stabilizer, yeah. You know what I'm talking about, horizontal stabilizer, which is a jack screw that turns and it keeps the plane on pitch. They discovered that Alaskan Airlines began to research the records. They had failed to do preventive maintenance. And it would have taken to have prevented that crash was what I call in the Greek some shaman. In the Hebrew, the word shaman. In the Hebrew, the word shaman means grease. And it's the word for the anointing. Now, all they needed was a $5 tube of grease to lubricate the stabilizer jack screw. $5 can of grease. The anointing. So many lives could be saved if we would maintain the anointing. If we would protect the anointing. If we would guard the anointing. If we would... The advantage is assigned to the anointing. Thank God we can access the anointing through the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is assigned to the anointing so that when families need healing, we have something to bring to them. When marriages need healing, there's anointing to grease that marriage and to lubricate that home. The anointing is there whenever you've received reports and you've gone through difficulties and you've gone through challenges and you need some preventive maintenance. You need the anointing. You need the grease of God. And it makes things function. It makes things operate. I can't preach without the anointing. I can't teach without the anointing. I can't sing without the anointing. I can't lead the fellowship without the anointing. It's not by might, it's not by power, but it's by my Spirit, says the Lord. It's still the Holy Spirit. He is the advantage. And I want us to know Him. I want us to receive Him. I want this generation to realize technology is good, but the anointing is better. Thank God I can do a PowerPoint. But we need more than a PowerPoint. We need the power that gets us to the point. Come on, amen? How much time I got? All day. Now, when I get to going now, I get caught up in... My dad says sometimes I get a heavy anointing of my own self. Oh, man. He'll be 85 March the 6th. May the 6th. Excuse me. I'm sorry. May the 6th. Thank you. That's why you need a helpmate. Amen. Kelly, you want some mic time? Come on. See, that's the anointing. The anointing makes things easy. It's not that things aren't difficult and aren't challenging and aren't hard. It's that the anointing is there to help us through those. And that's why Jesus was telling His followers, that's why He was telling His disciples, hey, you guys are about to go through some of the most difficult, challenging times of your life. You're about to face intense persecution. But I'm telling you right now, the Holy Spirit's going to be with you. It's to your advantage that I go away so that I can send Him to you. Now, the next thing the Holy Spirit is assigned to, the advantage is assigned to our remembrance. And I don't know about you, but I need more and more help in that every single day. I mean, where is that remote? How does that remote get hid in that couch and in that chair? And you can't find the remote. Seriously, that remote disappears all the time. I can't remember where I put my phone. I forgot where I put my phone. Where did I put my phone at? What phone? I got it up to my ear while I'm trying to find it. Yeah? Been there, done that? Yeah? You know? We need the Holy Spirit to help us with our memory. I thank God for the aid of the Holy Spirit in memory. And, you know, this does not excuse us. It does not excuse us from studying. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, He will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. I want to remember what Jesus said about it. I want to remember what Jesus said about my healing. I want to remember what Jesus said about my deliverance. I want to remember what Jesus said about my development. I want to remember what Jesus said about my marriage. I want to remember what Jesus said about pastoring my church. I want to remember what Jesus said about raising my children. So, He will teach you all things and bring to remembrance all things that I said unto you. But now, that does not excuse us from the responsibility. He can't bring it to your remembrance if you haven't studied it. Right? I don't really kind of go along with this. Just open your mouth and He'll fill it. No, you gotta study to show yourself approved, a workman that need not be ashamed, but that can rightly divide the word of truth. You can't give what you have not received. The word of God in us is the hope of glory. The word of God in us is a sharper than any two-edged sword. The Word of God in us. The only The only weapon Satan has against us is our own ignorance of the Word of God. And our ignorance of the Word of God is because we've not taken the time to read it or study or say, Pastor, I've even told some people who are literate. I say, well, buy you some tapes or CD. The Bible's on CD. It's on tape. It's audible on computers. It's audible on websites. The Bible is accessible in every way, shape, or form. And we can take advantage of the opportunity to sow it into our lives that we might not sin against God. Amen? Let the words of our mouth and the meditation of our heart be acceptable in His sight. So we take the Word in. We take the Word in. The Helper, the Holy Spirit, He will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. And I thank God for that wonderful assignment of the advantage, the Holy Spirit. Thirdly, the advantage is assigned to revelation. Revelation. God brings revelation today. What we experienced a few moments ago when we responded to the Word of the Lord was revelation. Thank God for revelation. He reveals things to us. He reveals the unknown. But when He, the Spirit of truth, comes in John 16, 13 through 15, He will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on His own. He will speak only what He hears. And He will tell you what is yet to come. That's why He says, prepare. I am coming. He's telling us what is yet to come. He'll prepare us for other events. He'll prepare us for other activities. He will wake you up at 3 o'clock in the morning. And He will tell you to pray for your brand new grandson, Gabriel. He'll reveal to you, Gabriel needs your intercession. He'll reveal to you things yet to come. He will reveal to you, He will warn you. Anybody ever been woke up and warned by God? And you interceded, you went into a time of intercession. He will show you what is yet to come. He will glorify me because it is from me that He will receive what He will make known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said the Spirit will receive from me what He will make known to you. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. The same was in the beginning, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Jesus is the Word. And the Holy Spirit will make known what He has said. What the Word of God has declared. Oh, thank God for the advantage. Somebody say the advantage.
Advantage.
I got the advantage. How many of you love having the advantage? Yeah, come on. That's why you went out and bought those brand new golf clubs, because you want the advantage. That's why you got that, you know, that nice makeup and cream, and you wanted the advantage. Amen? That's why you got that car with this, got that little thing, and then you can look now in the rear view mirror. You don't even have to look at it. You can look at a little TV screen and see what's behind you. You want the advantage. We want the advantage. Yes, I want the advantage. I like getting on the plane first. Amen? Before all the overhead space is taken. I want the advantage. Yeah. I want a golf club that I can hit further than Dan's golf club. Oh, ye of little faith. Therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed, and no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the advantage, the Holy Spirit. Amen. We need Him, don't we? Guess what His name is? The Holy Spirit's name is God. That's His name. He's God. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And according to Jesus and what He said in John 16, 7, He said that if I go away, I'll send the Comforter unto you. He will testify of me. Jesus was saying that the Holy Spirit, when I leave the Mount of Olives and I give you the instructions to go and tarry in Jerusalem till you be endued with power from on high, and 120 of you go and obey that and gather in the upper room, and you stay for 10 days and 10 nights and come and go, but you intercede and you pray. And then on the day of Pentecost, the 50th day, the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit falls. And they began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And they walked out of there and declared the wonderful works of God. And people were getting saved left and right. The Holy Spirit was being given the title as the active member of the Godhead in the earth today. And he said, this promise will be to your children and your children's children and as to as many as are afar off. Well, we're 2,000 years afar off. But the Holy Spirit is still the active member of the Godhead in the earth today. Woo! Amen? Oh, wow. I wish the church would just receive this message and bring the welcoming mat, lay it back out and say, come back, Holy Spirit. You can do more in one moment than we can do in a lifetime. Holy Spirit, you can raise the dead. Holy Spirit, you can bring healing to sick bodies through the instruments of human beings. The Holy Spirit can fill us and we're the temple of the Holy Spirit. And all of these giftings and all of this fruit can operate in our life because Jesus said, it's to your advantage that I go away. So the Holy Spirit is assigned to revelation. He's assigned to remembrance, and then he is assigned to relationship. The Holy Spirit is assigned to relationship. Peter was quite the character, wasn't he? The Apostle Peter. He lived with his mother-in-law, and God bless him. Amen. Wonderful. I have a wonderful mother-in-law. Thank God. I could live with my mother-in-law too. And but Peter, Peter still had to do some dying. There was still some stuff in Peter that still had to go. And I think that's one of the reasons why, you know, he was found warming his hands by the enemy's fire during Jesus' crucifixion. And of course, the prophetic words of Jesus were, you're going to deny me three times. And then the cock is going to crow. And, of course, all that was a reality. And so Peter stood to do some growing and some developing yet. And so the Holy Spirit's working on him one day in Joppa. He's working on Peter. And he goes up on the rooftop and he goes to pray. And while he's up on the rooftop, all of a sudden he receives a vision. Peter receives a vision. The Holy Spirit brings a vision. If you'll read Acts chapter 10, you will see all of the correction in Peter's life was done by the Holy Spirit. All of the correction was done by the Holy Spirit. And so here he is, and he's up on this roof, and he's praying, he's seeking God, and God does a media presentation. Yeah. Before we ever had technology, before we had screens, God had a screen. Before we had a projector, God had a projector. God was the first. I'm sorry, you know, we think we've got technology today, but God did it first. He had the light show before we ever had a light show. He had smoke before we ever had smoke in churches. God had smoke. Yeah. Matter of fact, you're not even going to temple without smelling some incense and seeing some smoke. So, you know. And then he was the first one to remodel the church. You remember he split the veil in two from top to bottom, completely remodeled the church. What is going on? Where is my church going to? My goodness. Wow. So Peter's struggling here, and, you know, we all struggle. We all struggle with change. We struggle with the Great Commission sometimes. We struggle with, you know, God's a whosoever will God. I come from the South. I'm in the South where we still deal with a lot of racism. We still deal with a lot of prejudice. And praise God, those walls continue to come down. But Peter had some prejudice. Peter had some prejudice in him. In him. It was in him. And God began to show him this vision and showed him the animals. But it wasn't about the animals. It was about souls. It was about souls. Because after he receives the vision, then the Holy Spirit reveals to him to go to Cornelius' house. Hold the fort. Hold everything. Wait a minute. Hold on. I'm a Jew. I am a Jew. And I don't have anything to do with Gentiles. This message, this gospel is Jewish. We are Judeo-Christians. This is Jewish. So far, that's as far as it's gone. All of the converts are Jewish converts. This is a Jewish experience. This is a Jewish, mainly, the majority. And so ice has to break here. A theological earthquake has to take place. Because our tradition says that we do not sit at the table with a Gentile. Much less go to his house. Much less step our foot across the threshold of his doorway. We just don't do that. This is out of the box. This is uncomfortable to me. This is unordinary. This is strange. This is unusual. I am comfortable in my own environment with who I know and who knows me. But God said, Peter, go to Cornelius' house. Because Cornelius is a God-fearing man who has been giving alms to the poor and helping people, who has been offering up prayers, and they have become a memorial. Isn't that awesome? That our giving and our alms and our prayers and our serving is in a memorial container in the heavenly realm of understanding God. God contains those, and He's containing Cornelius' prayers and giving. He's keeping record. He's keeping note. He's noticing what Cornelius is doing. But Cornelius is an Italian. Do I have any Italians in the house? Anybody Italian? Come on, I love Italians. Anybody? I love Italian food. Woo! Yeah, pizza. Oh, that's American. I'm sorry. But he goes, and God says that there's a man there, and I want you to go, and I want you to sit at his table. And man, the Holy Spirit. You read it. It's in the book of Acts. The Holy Spirit orchestrated, divinely set up the relationship between Peter and Cornelius. And Peter walks into Cornelius' house, and Cornelius falls on his feet, and Peter says, "Get up from there. We preachers are not, this is not hero worship. Don't be worshiping me. I'm a man just like you are." Wow, he had had a revelation that had brought forth a relationship. And I really believe God wants to do that for us. He wants us to have a relationship, a revelation that brings us into relationship. And because of it, Cornelius gets saved. His entire household gets saved. You read it. Then they get baptized in the Holy Ghost. Oh my goodness. And then there's another revelation. Oh, wait a minute. This is not just for we Jews. This is for the Gentiles too. Oh my. Oh my. You know, there may be some Jewish believers here today, but I'm pretty sure that most of us are American Caucasian Christians, and we're Gentiles. We need to say thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. We need to thank the Holy Ghost for setting that relationship up. Because when Cornelius got saved, that meant me and you could get saved too. When Cornelius got his household of faith, that means that you and I can have our household of faith too. And for 2,000 years, we've been living in the times of the Gentiles. Amen? Where the message of the gospel has been received by the Gentile world. And not only can we get saved, but we can also receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Which is the advantage. That's our advantage. See, when you walk into that sales room, you're a spirit-filled Christian believer. You're walking in with the advantage. Oh, yeah. Oh, the Holy Ghost is going to bring to my remembrance. Oh, yeah. When you walk into that classroom, the Holy Spirit's your advantage. When you walk into that doctor's office, the Holy Spirit's your advantage. When you walk into whatever environment, you have the advantage. Jesus gave us the advantage. He's assigned a relationship Do you not know that whom you present yourselves slaves to obey, you are one slaves whom you obey, whether of sin leading to death or obedience leading to righteousness. Now he who keeps his commandments abides in him, and he in him. And by this we know that he abides in us by the Spirit whom he has given us. Praise God. The advantage is a sign to empowerment. And my time has quickly, ever so quickly gone. But the Holy Spirit is a sign to our empowerment. The empowerment to be His witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost part of the earth. Father, I thank You today for giving us Your Son, Jesus, to be our Savior. I thank You that the Holy Spirit is here today. We need You, Helper. We need You, Comforter. We need You, Counselor. We need You to reveal to us things yet to come. We need You to bring to our remembrance what we've already studied. We need You to divinely assign relationships in our life. We need You to empower us to be Your witnesses so that we can reach out into the lost and dying world, and we can be the light. We can see the fruit. We can see the harvest. We ask You, Holy Spirit, we ask You to come now into our lives. We welcome You. We receive You in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. I thank You, Lord. I just want to minister to you right now for just a moment before we go. I'm going to just turn this off. Is that okay? Hallelujah. Let's just welcome Him right now. What you need in your life, the Holy Spirit already knows before we even ask Him. He's already there. Praise God. Hallelujah. The Holy Spirit is there to comfort you. He is the God of all comfort. He's the God of all counsel. Pastor, I need answers. I need direction. I need to know what to say to my grandson. I need to know what to say to my daughter. I need to know what to say to my husband. Holy Spirit, You're the advantage in my life. I receive You today. I receive You in Jesus' name. Praise God. Would you just stand with me today and just lift your hands and say, I receive You, Holy Spirit. Jesus said, it's my advantage. And I receive You. I receive the advantage. I receive You today. I want to walk in that advantage. I want to live in that advantage. I thank You today that we have been given the comfort of the Holy Spirit. He is the one that will guide us. He will lead us. He will direct us. He will show us things to come. Reveal to us even now, Holy Spirit. You know the road that we need to take. Praise God. You know the direction that You want to reroute us in. Let us always have a Holy Spirit discernment in us. To know yes and no, and to know, God, the words of wisdom. Hallelujah. I thank You today. I thank You today. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. I see someone right now, even as yesterday as we were walking through that market and all of those beautiful flowers were blooming. I see that someone right now is coming into a moment of fruition. A time of blooming in your life. You have almost like the talipot palm who in it takes 30 to 80 years for the talipot palm to produce its fruit. And then in the matter of a short period, the Talipot palm produces hundreds of thousands of golf ball sized fruit. And the Spirit of the Lord would speak and say that this is your moment. This is your hour. The fruit is going to be rapidly producing in your life. And you're going to bear much fruit, even in your latter years, even in the time just prior to your home going and celebration. There will be much fruit that will produce in your life, even as the Talipot palm would produce hundreds of thousands of fruit in its latter years. The Spirit of the Lord would speak and say unto you, you are about to enter an incredible fruit-bearing moment in your life. Hallelujah. Somebody just received that today. Hallelujah. Pastor Kevin, I just want to come pray. And Pastor Sherry, Sharon and Kelly and Dan, would y'all come? Let's just pray for Pastor Kevin. And he, wow, what an incredible man. This guy is he's like the Energizer Bunny. Man. And his wonderful wife, Sherry. I just pray, Father, right now. We just impart just an incredible, I just really believe, Lord, that you're just going to continue to bless this community. This community is being changed.
Thank you, Lord.
Radical change is taking place here in the realm of the Spirit.
Yes, Lord.
A metamorphosis. Hallelujah. Where people have come with maybe de-churched, unchurched wounds from the past. Even those who would move here for their latter years, thinking, Lord, that it's just going to be just somewhat idle. But God, that's not what you have in mind.
Yep, that's right.
Glory to God. You're going to continue, Lord, to just bring forth fruit that is going to produce, even from generation to generation. This community is going to pass the baton. Hallelujah. And I thank you, God, for using this couple. Hallelujah. In the race. Run the race. Run it. And cross it. The finish line. Oh, in Jesus' name. Run the race with patience. Run and not be weary. Walk and not faint. Soar even as the eagle. As Megan sang the other night. Thank you, Father. We bless this church. We thank you for Grace Christian Center. That has been strategically placed here by the Holy Spirit as an advantage to this community. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Be blessed. Be blessed. And be multiplied. In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And all of God's people said amen. Amen. Praise God. Thank you all for allowing us to come and share with you today.
Thank you.
Wonderful.
Thank you.
Go ahead. Look, this is what God just showed. There is years and years and years of revelation.
Yeah.
And knowledge and teaching.
Fruit.
Teaching. But God just showed me a shoot within a shoot.
Wow.
A branch within a branch. And that God is about to bring new revelation of His Word. It's fun to teach what you taught for years to people who have never heard it. But it's funner to teach what God has just taught.
Amen.
So a shoot within a shoot.
Beautiful.
Is about to branch. And
amen.
Your instruction and your teaching and the Word of God is going to go, wow, this is not going to blow your mind. It is blowing my mind.
Amen. Thank you, guys. Hallelujah. We received that. Hallelujah. Thank you. Thank you so much. What a joy. What a blessed joy to have you guys here. We love you all so much. Church, isn't it a blessing to have them with us this morning? And it's not just a blessing. It's not just a time of small blessing. There's a projection into the future, a thrusting into a new day. I believe that from the Lord, don't you? It's not just status quo. We're going on. And we've got the advantage. And we've got the presence of the Lord. So I'm excited about what He's doing. Dan and Kelly, it's been such a privilege to have you. To have you guys with us. And Steve and Sharon, to have you. Sherry turned to me and she said, isn't it a blessing that our fellowship is led by such a man of God? Amen. We're thankful for you. Lord, it's been such a rich time in your house this morning, a rich time with your people. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that you have sent us the advantage. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you fill us to overflowing. You guide, you lead us, you give us revelation, relationship, the anointing that abides and continues. We receive the word of the Lord this morning, and we receive the advantage in more ways than ever before. Now lead us as we go from this place. We do so with the joy of the Lord as our portion. Bless, O God, Pastor Steve and Sharon as they leave this place. Extend your hands toward them. Bless them with travel mercies. Pastor Dan and Kelly as they've departed, bless them with travel mercies. Let all connections be made for plane flights. And let them go knowing that they've been loved and blessed and received and leaving with a freshness in their own hearts and spirits. In Jesus' name. And all the people said,
Amen.
God bless you. Have a fantastic day in the Lord.